Lifeline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
You are not Adam Carolla.
Oh. What's up there, buddy? What you talking about? How dare you? How dare you barge into this microphone with that sort of accusatory tone?
Okay.
Woo. What are you talking about?
All right. Nothing. Where are you tonight?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh my God.
No, I'm good. I took a nap, buddy.
Oh, what, after having been up for 36 hours?
Well, the day got off to a shaky start because we were out club hopping last night.
What, club, the strip club?
Actually, we just sat in one strip club.
Okay, yeah.
And then we had to get up at 8 this morning and do this thing for a Golf Digest magazine where they, me and Jimmy and Carson Daly and Jimmy's cousin Sal did this thing where they were trying to determine the effects of alcohol on your golf game.
Well, fortunately, you were still loaded, so it must have been quite enough.
Well, I had a little in my system, but the point is I drank like 15 beers while I was playing golf today. You know, because in the name of science, Drew.
Which you had, let's be clear, there's no way you got to bed before 5 a.m.
No, I got to bed. I got to bed at like 3:30, and then I got up at 8, and then I drank 15 beers.
Okay.
And played golf. But then, here's what fixed it all. I ate a ton of Mexican food about 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, fixed everything. With margaritas.
That made it all right. But then I took a big fat nap.
Okay. All right.
So here we are.
All right.
And I got up from my nap, and I took a shower, and I drank a cup of coffee. So I'm feeling good, buddy.
All right. We were sounding like ass. But here we go. Let's go on. This is Dave.
Hold on a second.
What?
Hold on.
What?
I'm not done.
Oh, no kidding.
Not done.
All right.
I got to tell the kids a story.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I never get tired of stripper conversation.
Okay.
I'm going to write a book called Stripper Talk.
Strippers I've Known?
Yes. Yes. The Musings of Strippers. First off, I don't know if you know this, but they're not as smart as regular people.
Come on. How dare you? That is so stereotyping. How dare you?
And, you know, there's nothing better than when the strippers get on to politics, like what they do for how they're going to catch bin Laden or what they would do with him or even sort of theorizing about where he may be and what happened to him.
Right.
But, I mean, that was just... That was worth, I mean, it was a half hour of it, but every second was precious about what we should do with bin Laden. But one of the great stories of the night was we were talking about veganism or vegetarianism.
Yeah.
And
which
one
are different. How dare you?
I know. You know, they are. And we were talking about everything. And she said that she's not a vegetarian, that... you know, she eats beef and red meat and chicken and fish and everything else. But the one place she draws the line is veal.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
And the reason she doesn't eat veal is because when she pictures those baby lambs.
Yes. Old baby lamb, she says.
Oh, see, Drew, do you see what you do? Drew, do you see what you do?
I screw your joke up.
Yes, you start talking and agreeing on the punchline. You see what happens, Drew?
I see what happens, especially when you're loaded. It's hard for you to adjust.
Drew, do you see what you do?
Yeah.
You see how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Well, should I say the joke again?
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's not really a joke. It's what she said.
She said baby lambs.
Right.
Right.
And as up to 60% of our listeners know, it's baby cows.
I think most of our listeners would even have escaped them. It's
you
our
think so?
It's our listeners. At least our callers. Right, at least our callers.
How old is our first caller?
36.
Oh, okay. So a youngin'.
Yeah. You want to check?
Right, go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Dave's 36.
Yes. Guys, you guys rule.
Thank you.
Got a question, though. What are the effects of Viagra usage for me and my my girlfriend, and relative to having kids, fertility?
You mean recreational, non-medicinal, non-medical use of Viagra?
Exactly, Drew.
No one knows. That's not really been studied.
It's probably not too bad.
It's possibly not too bad, but there is concern that there may create sort of a dependency on this chemical. There's also
What do you mean for your girlfriend, though?
She loves it, guys. She loves it.
What happens when she takes it?
It's a much higher sensitivity. It's a huge turn-on. In fact, she says she can have an orgasm if I just kiss her on the neck. It's great.
Interesting. Because there are some anecdotes.
Adam, you might like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna kiss her on the neck.
There are some anecdotal reports of women becoming even multi-orgasmic who weren't before when taking it. So yeah, it's something that's interesting for, will be used, I suspect, someday for women with FDA approval. But it currently does not have that standard.
Oh, it does. Well, why doesn't it have? Why?
Because the studies haven't been done yet. Basically, they're doing them. They're doing them, and there is no really known consequence long-term from the drug, but there is concern that there could be dependency on it. There are nitric oxide pathways in the brain, so there's concerns that it could affect mood and other things, but nothing has been documented yet. So.
No free lunch in nature, right, Drew?
That seems, in my experience as a physician, that has fundamentally been the case.
Not even veal, right? Lambs?
Not even the baby lambs or the calves. But if there is something extra-physiologic that is super intense, there probably is an effect from it down the line.
Okay.
That's just been the way I've observed it anyway.
What's a typical dosage for, you know, 160-pound male?
50.
50s?
Yeah.
What if you go up to 100 or something?
Well, 100 is sort of maximal dose.
Mm.
But it's not, again, I don't know that it's been shown to have any more adverse problems than.
Any research on fertility?
No. Again, you're worried about use on non-medical indications, and that's not going to be studied probably for a long, long time. These are people, men that have medical problems already are the ones that are using the drug or being studied, and fertility is not an issue for them.
Mm-hmm. What about mixing it with other drugs, you know, marijuana, alcohol?
Dave, if they don't have the first level of studies, how are they going to have the added on concerns?
Well, they've done it with peyote, they've done it with mescaline, they've done it with tequila, hashish, but they've not done it with heroin, I believe, yet. But that should be coming in another 3 or 4 days.
Well, the problem is, the real issue here is that if you are needing Viagra in order to function sexually because of addiction, there's a whole big issue being missed here.
Okay.
And if you don't deal with that, there's going to be much more consequences down the line, much more than the Viagra would ever cause.
Do they have any research or have you?
All right. Would you get rid of him? Drew, what's going on over there? We're going to do the first hour with all this hypothetical Viagra questions.
Let's try this.
What about Viagra and Ovaltine?
Is there any
data on that? listen, you jackass. Hold on a second, Drew. Now you got me started.
All right, go.
Here's the deal with all this stuff. Obviously, you're not going to drop dead from dropping a pill that millions of American males drop all the time.
Right.
On the other hand, you are screwing with yourself when nothing is broken and you're taking stuff that's meant to fix something that's not broken.
Always. All you can do is make things worse.
Right. Now, does that mean you can't pop one on your anniversary, Christmas, and Hanukkah twice a year? I'm sure that would be fine.
Yeah.
Even if you wanted to do it once, twice a month, it would probably be fine. But now you want to mix it with drugs and you want to do it every night and you want to snort it or smoke it.
Yeah.
And it's not fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jana?
Hello?
Hi, Star. It's Loveline. Drew, Adam.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because I have a question regarding my son's methamphetamine use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to start dealing with it, how to deal with it, or do I just not deal with it until he reaches out? I have no idea of what to do.
How long has he been doing it?
Well, I found out about it last weekend, and he said he had used it that weekend.
Oh, please.
And so I said, well, this is not the first time, I don't think. He said, no, I tried it about a month ago.
Oh, no, you can connect the dots on that.
Exactly, it's kind of lingering. Yeah. And I just, to me, it's more extreme now because I see now his more irrational behavior.
Has he been using pot for a while, too?
I believe he has.
Okay, so that's the usual story, is the long-standing marijuana that starts wearing off, the effect's not so good anymore, they start getting depressed, they switch over to speed, and the speed is where they really get the consequence. So they start getting paranoid, start getting irritable, depressed.
He's extremely that way last
week. And, but the, if he's paranoid to the point that he's thinking that people around him are thinking about him and trying to harm him, whatnot, that is a sign of many, many, many months of use.
Okay.
Well, he didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, he did. Last week,
he did?
Last weekend, he was kind of paranoid. He said, you know, I think my friends are trying to set me up and blah, blah, blah.
That is an amphetamine. Paranoid. That's an amphetamine.
And set him up on a date. Hold on a second, Drew. I got to get some information. How old is Jana?
Jana? I'm 38. And my son.
And how old's your son?
He's 22. I had him when I was 16.
Okay, Drew, get this information from the callers, please.
No, the gentleman asked me when he screened me, so you guys have it.
Yeah, I punched the call, and the information on the computer went out. So,
okay.
Be that as it may, this is an amphetamine psychosis, and this is profound addiction, and it has to be treated in an inpatient setting, in my opinion.
Okay.
And the only thing you can do to get him in is to either create such sufficient consequences that he's willing to comply with you. That is, if you have financial support or whatever leverage you have, you bring to bear. Secondly, you can go to Al-Anon. It turns out that a significant other, family member, spouse, that sort of thing, who goes to Al-Anon tends to increase the probability that the identified patient will come to treatment.
Okay.
So you go to Al-Anon. Go ahead.
I want to know if he lives at home.
He does live at home. He was previously living with his girlfriend, but that ended about a month ago.
All right, baby.
And
we'll get him some help.
The basic principle is you support their recovery, but you have nothing to do with their disease. You start withholding from him any support you can that helps you leverage him into treatment. Okay? All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. All right. Hey, good times.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. Take Wade, who's 18. Wade.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew and Adam?
Wade.
How you doing there, Wade?
I have a concern that I've had for a while. Dr. Drew, are you familiar with a man named Mike Nyland from Healing Tree Services?
Healing Tree?
Yeah.
No.
I used to be in a group home, and I went to it was Healing Tree. It's sex addicts, juvenile treatment.
Wait, what's up? What can we do for you tonight?
I like when Drew gets weird, by the way.
I'm not getting weird. I just don't know where we're going with this. I get the picture. Now, where are we going?
I was just illustrating how long I've been dealing with this, and I have these lusts of things that I consider to be pretty just unnatural. And I told the screener that I've had encounters, like when I was 8 years old, I performed fellatio on a dog. And now, when I think about a woman doing sexual things with animals, it really seems to do it for me when I masturbate. It's crazy. I don't understand why it's like this.
How's your sexual compulsivity otherwise? Were you able to contain your impulses?
No, not really.
Were you sexually abused when you were growing up?
I'm aware of. I've been asked that a lot.
So somebody suspects that?
Yeah.
When the guy's blowing Rover, you gotta expect that something may be up, right?
Something at 8 especially. Were you severely neglected growing up?
My parents divorced when I was 7.
No, but I mean like when you were a little kid, were you left in a crib for days on end without much human contact or?
No.
Nothing like that.
When I was born, my mother quit her job and took care of me and everything.
Hmm. Well, do you have a girlfriend now?
No.
And, well, you're into girls?
Yeah.
And you were. You were in a group home for a while?
I was, about 9 months last year.
How'd that end up?
I got kicked out for not putting my full effort into the program, or so they say.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
Troublemaker.
Yeah.
I don't seen your type before, Wade.
Are
you scared? Are you scared you're going to do something stupid or violent or criminal?
No, I'm just kind of worried about my brain. You know, why does it think like that?
Well, it's really 9 months of treatment. You must have gotten some insight, right?
Not really.
Well, I guess after all, you weren't putting your full effort into it.
Yeah, and I wasn't always honest. And I had told them, you know, I did an autobiography, you know, whatever. And I had told them of the stuff that I had done, but I never really got answers to why I think.
Well, some of these things there aren't really answers to. There is trauma and there is lack of connectedness and neglect and the usual sorts of interpersonal experiences that allow for emotional growth. And when your brain doesn't get that opportunity to grow, there are effects. There are symptoms that develop. People get panic attacks, and they feel empty and worthless, and they get addictions. And sometimes if there are some traumas interspersed in there and severe neglects, there are sexual compulsions, and the compulsions can be rather weird if there's attachment problems early on in life.
All right, but Drew, what about the wild card weirdo factor? I mean, isn't a certain percentage, hold your ears, Wade, isn't a certain percentage of humanity just sort of that way?
Well,
for no good reason.
And in fact,
most of the people that are that way for good reason. But there's a small percentage that is just that way for no good reason.
You're absolutely right. In fact, it's been the fashion in mental health to be thinking in terms of genetic biology as the reason people are however they are. That the environment has maybe very less than we thought. Now the pendulum's sort of swinging back. And as you're pointing out, it's probably both. Probably some people are genetically this way and some people are environmental. In this show, we've talked about this a lot, right? We talk about homosexuality being sometimes environmental, sometimes genetic. We talk about alcoholism. We talk about other stuff, right?
Yeah, but I would say the deviant or bizarre sexuality is something that's mostly always environmental. Somebody molested you or screwed with you somehow.
Mostly, yeah.
But once in a while, somebody's just into watching chicks getting nailed by mules. And that's it.
Or maybe he had some weird virus when he was a kid and no one picked it up, you know, and it did something to his brain.
Right.
Integration.
He got ringworm from the dog.
Yeah, good times.
Okay, well, listen. Here's what... Oh, God. Well, look. Wade doesn't sound violent. He doesn't sound like he's going to hurt anybody or himself. But he doesn't like these thoughts that are in his head. Yeah. And I think Wade needs to just get some therapy.
Well, Wade. Hey, Wade.
Yeah.
You need to get back into the residential programs, right? I mean, that's where you have been told you need to be. That's where you need to engage in treatment. That's where you can get the most out of it. How about getting back now that you're ready to do some work?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I think that'll
take. Give 110% this time.
That's right. This is now Charlie's 28. Charlie.
Oh, hi. Huh? I don't really have a question. I just have a comment for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You made a comment earlier that you said that all strippers are dumb. I've been a stripper for 3 years, and I'm not claiming to be the smartest person in the world, but I fancy myself very intelligent, and I'm graduating college in a month and a half.
Whoa! Where is Bin Laden?
See, I don't know a lot about politics.
Okay, but let me ask.
But
let me ask this.
Why does it always have to be the thing that makes somebody smart is politics? That's pretty much the only thing, or one of the things that I really don't know a lot about.
What kind of animal is veal?
It's baby cows.
Mm-hmm. And venison. What kind of animal is that?
Is what?
Venison. 5 seconds.
No. Ooh.
Sorry.
Little impulse control problems, too.
Dr. Drew.
Are you done? Are you done? No, there are plenty of highly intelligent strippers. Some of our greatest academic teachers come from this world. Is that not true, Drew? Some of your professors in college were ex-strippers?
Well, so the popular folklore would have you believe. But listen, Charlie, Adam tends to generalize about a lot of people, so don't ever take exception.
Well, I think Adam is absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
Well,
see,
thanks,
Adam,
baby.
See, Adam, she's smart after all, right?
Are you done stripping or are you still stripping?
I haven't stripped in about a month because I got $8,000 in student loans, so I haven't had to.
Where'd you go to college?
I'm going to Cal State Fullerton. I'm graduating June 1st.
And then what?
And then I'm going to do an internship.
Back to stripping for the rest of her life.
No, then I have a summer internship and hopefully get a job.
And is it hard to get out of that stripping gig?
Yeah, it is because the money is really easy and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really hard. And lots of times I contemplated, you know, screw school, this is just too easy. But, it's just a matter of personal integrity. And I think
How'd you get into
so much more out there. You can only go so far with stripping. You reach a certain age and then it's like you're done. You know, I don't want to be that person. So
how did you get into it in the first place?
My best girlfriend was a stripper. She'd been stripping for, like, I don't know, about a year and a half, and she'd always try to talk me into doing it, and I was like, no, no, and then finally I just went to see her at this bikini bar she worked at, and she talked me into auditioning, and I don't know, I did it and made lots of money, and everyone was cheering and clapping, and it fed my ego a little bit, I have to admit.
Nice rack. So, do you work at a topless place?
I work at a topless bar now, yeah, but I started at a bikini bar.
All right. Mm. That's good times.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Are you they're lovely, lovely ladies.
You two made up now?
Yeah, we're cool.
Charlie, you cool?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Charlie?
Venison, though. We haven't answered that yet.
I don't know. I've heard of venison, but I don't know what kind of animal that is.
Next time I see you, baby, I'm going to stuff an extra 20 in your thong, all right?
All right. I'll hold you tight.
All right there, baby. Good times. Good times.
All right, and venison, what are you looking for? Because it has two meanings, venison.
Yeah, but I'm looking for traditionally
deer.
When people say the type of meat.
You're looking for deer.
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
I had to stump her. She knew the veal.
No, that was a good one.
What's the other meaning?
Just what game? Hunted game.
So a quail is venison?
No, game animal. So like the elk could be venison.
I would say that's probably what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I would have accepted elk as an answer.
You would have been right.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would have been right.
But
then
what about moose? Is that venison?
Let me read you the definition.
Oh, yeah, Drew has the book there.
The edible flesh of a wild animal taken by hunting. Number two, the flesh of a deer.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about that is, you just, if you killed a wild boar, you wouldn't call it venison because you'd call it pork.
Right, right.
So it would be the name that you'd give to something with four legs that you would eat that didn't already have a name.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. So antelope.
I'm getting hungry.
Oh,
Drew, let's get some jerky.
Hey, you can walk out and walk on up to a buffet, can't you?
That's right. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And I'm going to run out to the Caesars buffet, Drew.
All right, good.
You want some, like, popcorn shrimp or something?
Are you at the Caesars? No.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm a million miles away in a hellhole.
All right, we're taking a break.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight.
And you're loaded.
Drew is not in Las Vegas. What's happening, buddy?
I'm having a good time. Are you?
Yeah.
Good times.
TP'd, baby.
Oh, you're
boy,
right?
Drew.
Oh,
Drew.
What?
Good times. I got a couple things I need to talk about.
I'm ready.
One is, I don't know. I don't want to get into all this. Well, one quick question medically, though, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
As I'd, wake up call at 7:45 this morning after I went to bed at 3:30.
Yeah.
And, got up, decided I needed a couple of aspirin before I hit the links this morning.
All right.
Stumble into the bathroom, and you know how I don't like fighting with the childproof caps on every goddamn thing?
Right.
Found some children's aspirin in my toiletry bag.
Okay.
And fought with the cap for 15 minutes before I got it open. Turned out it was orange and chewable.
Right.
And I thought to myself, do we really need the childproof cap on the children's aspirin?
Yeah, you do.
Give me a worst case scenario here. The kids get into the kids' aspirin?
And not knowing, thinking it's candy or something, take a big dose. And it doesn't take much to die from an aspirin overdose. It's like Tylenol, same thing.
All right, but let me tell you something. We got to decide. If it's children's aspirin and we want the children to take it, let's not put the cap on it.
Yeah, but it's the taste that's designed for children, not the...
But Drew, you'd be behind me if I said that we should open an adult store where I can get things like aspirin and vitamin, multivitamins and stuff, where I don't need a pair of lineman dykes and a flat bar to get the goddamn cap off.
Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a world or had sections of the world where we could have products devoid of liability? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean, think about this, Drew. How much of your life is wasted struggling with childproof caps when it will never, ever be an even remote issue in your life?
Oh, yeah. There's a thousand examples like that.
Yes. What about me who averages 5.2 childproof caps a day and still does not have a child?
See, you don't interact with the world very much except to use drugs and things like that. And when you're actually out there in the world, there's a billion things like this, not the least of which in your case is things like what you can build over your garage and S like that.
Yes, it's very painful. And, Drew, another thing you'll like is I got picked up by the town car yesterday to take me out to the airport. And this was one of those guys who was talking my ear off and leaning over his shoulder and looking at me the whole time. The guy built a riverboat that he lives on.
Oh, my God.
And cars flying past us as if we were... Yes. Here's the speed they were going past us. You ever go to a drag strip, Drew? You've seen a drag strip?
Yes.
There's that center lane in there. It's about 10 feet wide.
Yes.
Picture you throwing it in reverse from the finish line punching it in reverse in a Lincoln Town Car couple of Top Fuel nitro-burning funny cars going down the drag strip as you pass them at about the halfway point.
Oh, my God.
That's what it sounded like.
What did you do?
My skin was crawling. I was going out of my mind. It's like I felt like I had bugs all over my body. And I always think at a certain point when guys in like golf carts and electric cars are going by you, whizzing by you, that don't you think you take notice at a certain point?
Oh, please. Listen, he's looking into the back seat.
Listen,
he's not driving
buddy,
the car.
An elderly Korean woman passed you in a Daihatsu Charade, and she was going 45 miles an hour faster than we're traveling. And she was getting passed.
Did you say something finally?
No, I just...
Oh, come on. What's the matter with you?
Because it's like, you know why? Because I have a constant battle of trying not to be me. I thought, no, don't come on. Relax. Just be like a normal human being. Just relax. Don't say anything. You're going to get to the airport. You're going to make the plane. Why say anything? But then you get in the diamond lane, and people are swerving out and flying past you.
Oh.
Nothing. Nothing. Oh, this guy built a riverboat and lives on it in the L.A. Harbor.
Well, he's moving about as fast as if he had a steam engine on a paddle here. But listen, what people don't appreciate, and the reason it's funny to us, is every night we drive home complaining about other people's driving. That's all we
yes,
do.
That's all we do. And I announced 2 days ago that I can no longer be driven. And I always get the curse of the super, super slow guy.
Huh. All right, let's take a call. This is Sarah, who's 23. And this is a call I think would be appropriate topic for you this lovely evening. Sarah. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a question. I went to therapy a while ago, and I don't have any childhood memories, really.
Mm-hmm.
And she said there was some type of light that they can flash in your eyes. It's not hypnotizing you.
Oh, this is the eye movement thing. Yeah, there is this whole... I don't know much about this, but we've been asked about it a few times the last couple of weeks, and I do know people of substance put something of meaning in this. What exactly it does is sort of a retraining of neural circuitry, as I understand it, but I certainly know very little about it.
My mom died when I was younger, and she said since that's why I don't remember things is because when something traumatic happens in your life, your brain shuts down or whatever.
Mm.
Do you think, because I had a hard time talking about it, do you think I need to work up with, because I don't live in the same town as I lived in when I was going to therapy.
I think what's important is that you learn to form solid attachments and that you are able to achieve real intersubjective empathic attunement with another person. And that if you learn real attachment and connect it with another person, all of a sudden, these feelings will begin to emerge. Not necessarily ones of explicit memory, but sort of implicit experiences. The physiologic imprint of that trauma will sort of make itself more apparent to you, and you'll be able to grow through it. This is clearly what's necessary. It has been shown repeatedly to work. It takes a long time. If you don't have a lot of resources, it's a tough thing to do. But a real connected therapist would be able to do this with you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't understand. I'm not sure what she's trying to accomplish, though.
She somehow thinks that somehow if she gets the memories out... See, this is the misconception people have, that if they dig into the trauma, all that does is give you panic attacks. Really, what needs to happen is the problem here is that there's a rupture in the ability to connect with other people in a real way, and the ability to sort of open oneself up and trust another person and to accept their attuned presence. See, in her case, she's afraid that they're going to leave just the way her mom did. And so it's too threatening. It's too vulnerable to open up. With time, a real talented person can get connected to her and sort of lead her through this into a state of more integrated growth of her brain, which is really what needs to happen.
Yeah, I think there's way too much stock put in that. I have to remember the past
in order
to correct it.
Way.
It's sort of like if your knee was screwed up or your back was screwed up, but you didn't remember if you did it snowboarding,
right,
water skiing,
right,
or got in a car accident. It's like, you got to rehab your back, your knee.
That's right.
It's
the physiologic imprint that needs to be reworked. And in the case of the brain, it needs a higher level of integration and growth, and that stops happening when you've had a trauma. You need to reach back, start developing where you left off by connecting with other people. This is Jay, who is 22. Jay.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, Adam.
Hey, Jay.
How's it going?
Good.
You guys old buddies? North Hollywood?
Where are you from, Jay? I think you sound like the guy who drove me to the studio tonight.
Actually, I lived in a lot of places so far.
Did you transfer?
All righty, then.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I lived in three different states and two different countries at the age of 22 so far.
Wow.
What countries?
I lived in Thailand for a while. I spent some time in Korea. I lived in Hawaii, Washington. Now I'm in L.A. Lived in here for 2 years so far.
Mm.
Beautiful. I'll tell you, Drew, one thing I've learned from traveling this great world of ours. It takes all kinds. You know what I mean, buddy?
Yes.
Yeah,
takes all kinds.
Totally.
Takes all kinds. Oh, what's up there, Jay?
Yeah.
Boy, am I drunk.
What?
What's up, Jay?
Yeah, my orgasm is not as intense as it used to be when I was a teenager. I mean, it's masturbation is better than having sex with a woman. It's that horrible.
Mm-hmm. Masturbation, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a little pain around my lower abdominal area, but it's like comes and goes. And I used to do little, like some ecstasy and little pot, like dozen times of pot smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if that drug is anything related to my own.
Well, ecstasy can screw you up a little bit, but that not usually after just a couple of exposures. Are you on any medication right now?
Talking more about, I don't know, a couple dozen times of ecstasy.
Couple dozen times. Well, that's enough. That sometimes will do it to you. But I'll tell you what, one of the places that you can look to as perhaps being a potential problem that can be treated, you're talking about these sort of pelvic pains you get, right?
More like a irritating pain.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can get prostate inflammation or prostate infections that can make the orgasm function worse. So you might want to see a urologist to see if there's something going on that way.
Jay, how often you beating off?
I used to beat off a lot. Not as much as you do, Adam, but...
I'm writing. Not as much as... I'm going to write me. I'm not going to write Adam.
2 to 3 times how often? 2 to 3 times?
2 to 3 times a week.
A week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Geez, that's a little light, buddy.
He's 22.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, you're okay. 22, Adam. Come on. He's not 17.
What do you mean, 22?
He's not 17.
How often do you beat off, Adam?
Geez, I got to think. What day is it? Man, well, first off, I haven't beat off in about an hour and 50 minutes. It's been some time. To be totally honest, I probably got myself down to about, I could be at 3-4 times a week now.
You know,
the schedule's picked up, Drew.
Yeah.
What would you say, jerking off average for, I don't know, early 20s of...
I think you're right about in the average there, Jay.
No, he's a little light.
This is by Corolla standards. Understand, Adam? Please don't hold everyone to your standard now.
Yes, he would not cut it with my crew.
This is Court, so to speak, from Utah. He's 19. Court.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what are the symptoms of pubic lice?
It itches like hell, and you see these little flea-like critters down there cruising around.
Yeah, so it's like lice on top of your head.
Right. They move around down on your pubic area, though.
How
different are the crabs and lice?
Yeah, different organisms. Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how would you get it? Like, how would you acquire it?
Usually by having sex with someone who has it.
Is that the only way?
But it's pretty. No, no. It's pretty
contagious.
Easy to get if you got a roommate who gets it or something like that.
That's true.
Okay, cool.
Why? You got a girlfriend who has it?
Yeah, she might.
Well, what have you got? What do you have?
Hold on. This Cordy's a real smooth customer.
Hey, what do you want?
Yeah, she might. Possible. Of course. So your girlfriend got it, and you want to know whether she's cheating or not.
No, I know she's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, then why do you want to know how you get it?
I want to know, how to get rid of it, actually.
Well, that's not what you asked. You asked how do you get it.
Well, I was just wondering, how do you get it? How do you get rid of it?
Like I said, this court, he's silky smooth.
How do you get it?
I'd like
get rid
to
of
use
it.
Him. If I ever get arrested for anything and ironically go to court, I'd like to use him as expert testimony.
You will go to court to get the testimony then. So.
That's right. All right. You can get it easily if somebody, shares a towel or something like or a comforter or blanket or something. Laundry gets messed up with like your roommates or something like that. And you get rid of it by getting that special shampoo,
there's
right?
There's Lindane and Quell and all kinds of stuff you can use now. So, you see the lice?
No, I haven't looked.
Okay, what are you experiencing?
Itching like hell.
Down there?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
And no rash?
No rash.
All right, that's probably that.
All right, and Drew?
Yeah.
Let me say this. I use crab shampoo on the pubes anyway.
Oh,
even
really?
Even though I don't have it. Yeah, just I like it that much.
To keep it feeling fresh and clean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's nice. Well, after a hard night at the strip club like you have, Mr. Crowley.
You
got
to play it safe.
That's
yeah.
Right.
It leaves my pubes manageable. Soft and manageable.
Oh, my God.
Drew, you ever have flyaway pube?
Oh, sure.
Who hasn't? Split pube ends?
Split, yes.
And by the way,
what
Drew,
happened to that? What happened
where's
to that?
Split, what happened to split ends?
What happened to that?
I spent my entire young life hearing about split ends.
Yeah.
I heard about how to avoid them and what products.
Well, part of that
would,
was Adam. We lived in a time when everybody had to have long hair, so you grew your hair unnaturally long until it split.
So, oh, is that what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of discussion about split ends that I don't seem to hear anymore.
And that's because you cut it off now before that happens.
All right. Well, anyway, the Quell leaves my pubes soft and manageable.
Nice.
Okay, shall we take a break?
Let's do, please.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm in Vegas. Drew is back in L.A. tonight. Hey, Drew.
Hmm.
Do you hear that last public service announcement we played?
No. Which one was it?
It was Malik Yobam.
Nice.
Singing about why kids shouldn't shoot each other.
Ah, where have all the children gone? Is that one?
No, this one's not too bad. It's a pretty decent PSA, it's telling the kids not to shoot each other. I've heard it about 3,000 times.
Oh,
the only thing I noticed tonight is he was explaining that when he was 15,
that he was shot.
He was shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me hear that. You got that, Anderson?
Not everyone else is as lucky as I am, right? Here it is.
No. No, there's. I would do a little editing on this. So I'll tell you where I'd work on it.
Right here, first of all.
Hi, pick it up a little later in the song.
I play a cop on TV.
Right.
I wrote this song because I need to see things change.
Right.
Kids are dying in our streets from violence.
I'm with him.
I know
I'm
because
with
I was shot when I was 15.
Now listen.
I survived. But each day,
all right,
there are
that's
10
enough,
kids
Anderson.
That don't.
It's the part where he says he survived.
Yeah. No kidding.
See, I think we could conclude that from hearing the fact that he went on to have a successful acting career.
Yeah.
And that he didn't actually expire at 15.
Right.
Unless he'd cut the PSA at age like 14 and a half. But so, then how would he know he got shot?
I survived.
Yeah. We know you survived. You went on to make a crappy record.
I survived.
Yes, he did. Yeah, see, I would just edit that out.
I mean, that makes sense.
Why makes not? Sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to streamline here, Drew. That's all.
That's good. You're always helpful, Adam.
Always thinking.
This is Robert, who's 23. Robert?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
What's up?
Lately, I've been prescribed Depakote, which is 1,000 milligrams I got to take a day.
Right.
I got to take naproxen for my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got to take Trazodone for sleep.
Which? Trazodone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, like, lately my temper's been getting, like, really short. Like I get, like, upset easily, moody.
Well, that's what you're taking the Depakote for that, so yeah. Maybe you have a level check to make sure it's doing what
you
it's supposed
pansy.
To do.
What's that Trazodone for,
Trazodone's
Drew?
Trazodone's for sleep, basically.
Yeah.
But the Depakote is for...
Trazodone has bad side effects.
Well, it's actually a pretty mild medicine, but Depakote has got some side effects, liver inflammation, and blood count problems, that sort of thing. But it is something that is necessary for a very serious illness called bipolarity or bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
And if you're becoming sort of hypomanic, then you get kind of irritable and your Depakote's not working, they may need to put you on something else. So this is George, 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's up, George?
How you guys doing?
We're good.
All right, you guys don't mind that I'm on speakerphone?
I do, yes.
Unacceptable.
I'm greatly sorry for that. Okay, here's the problem here. I have a girlfriend.
Unacceptable.
Hold on now. Do you have to be on speakerphone?
Well, I mean, it's kind of broken, but, I mean, if you guys would prefer it, I can do it.
I put George on hold.
Okay.
Do we have to dedicate the first goddamn 20 minutes of his call to whether he shouldn't be on speakerphone or not?
Seems that way.
You know what I mean, George?
Yeah.
Let George rot on hold for about another 45 minutes, and then we'll get back and decide if he wants to be on speakerphone.
I will pick somebody who's been waiting a longer time. This is Chris, who's 16. Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
My question is, basically, I actually just turned 17 today.
Hmm.
And,
happy birthday.
I've been totally blind since birth, and I attend regular school. I attend, the mainstream classes, and I'm having a hard time hooking up with the ladies. You know, like, I ask them stuff, you know, like, if you want to exchange phone numbers or, you know, can we get together after school? And they all...
And it turns out it's just a hat rack you're talking to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's blind comedy, Drew.
I know. Chris doesn't appreciate it, though.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Adam.
And by the way, it's not blind, it's seeing impaired.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's visually impaired.
Yeah, visually, sorry.
Yes.
Visually impaired.
Sure.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So girls don't respond, huh?
Yeah, and like, you know, my friend and I, we went to this dance last night. We were thinking, you know, okay, maybe we can hook up with some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just kind of gave us the cold shoulder, and that's just the way it works. I just, you know, I can always sense they're kind of awkward around me. And so I'm not really sure what's going on. I mean, are they scared of me? Are they, you know, what's going on?
Hmm.
Well, you survived. That's the important part.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy. So you've been blind since birth.
Yeah, and they're not really sure why. It's like a genetic thing, because my little brother's blind, too. So.
Interesting.
And, you know, I always have questions for people who've been blind since birth, but then I always realize they're sort of crazy.
The questions?
If you want to.
Yeah.
He wants to know what you masturbate to. That's what his usual question is.
Oh, what do I beat off to?
Yeah, because...
Well, you know, it just depends on the night, you know? It varies from night to night.
Well, what do you picture?
You picture, like, you know, a hot chick, and, you know, she's coming in there, and she's, you know, ready for you. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that interesting that the fundamentals remain for a male?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
All the same.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out what a hot chick is for you. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't see Claudia Schiffer in your mind's eye.
No.
You know what I'm asking, Drew? And maybe
he knows what she would feel like and sound like.
I can know what she'd feel like, yeah. There you go.
He does? Have you felt a boob?
No. See, I can't get a girl to do that with, Adam.
But my question is, Drew and Chris, how do you picture a boob if you've never seen one and you've never felt one?
Well, I mean, I've felt like the models before, you know, like in health class.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
So you just kind of base it on that, you know.
All right.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to explain, you know.
Yeah. And is your sense of hearing and smell real acute?
Yeah, it's really well, yeah.
And he can sense when people are uncomfortable. He was saying the girls that they're not sort of responsive.
Well, it's like the chick at the dance, she just kind of said, see you later, and just kind of ran off, you know. And so I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Well, we don't know if she ran off or just ran in place and made that sound. You know that that sound that Deputy Dog makes when he runs. What?
You are lucky that you are my God.
Thank you. Yeah, she could just made that sound. I don't know. You know what, Chris? I know this this blind thing may suck, but in a certain way, it could be a better
life.
It could
work to your advantage, yeah.
I really think I would be happier if I was blind.
Why?
Well, you wouldn't be looking for any visual perfections. You'd be looking for sort of a real emotional connection and an experiential connections with another person. Just on that.
I really think the eyes of all the senses get us into the most trouble.
For men especially.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, whether you're talking about cars or women.
You look at them and then you base it on what they look like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a long life of seeing stuff you want and not getting it.
Right. Okay.
Or getting horrible versions of it.
So right. The fact is when Chris does find somebody that he's close to and connects with, it'll be real.
Yeah.
And she'll be appreciative and it'll come. It'll come with time.
All right. Well, let's
talk to her. Aren't interested? You know, like they just make up excuses. I can't figure out why that is.
Well, high school
they're a little freaked out, and chicks are a little freaked out about high school guys, even when they're quote normal. And things. I mean, here's the deal. We got to wrap this up. But
yes,
Chris, you have this this
impairment
impairment. And it's going to make certain things a little bit harder, and this is going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no getting around that. But it doesn't mean it's not a death sentence.
I think it's just going to take things longer to get going for him. And once they do, he'll be fine. And he's a great guy.
I am in love with this, Chris.
I am, too. You want to fight about it?
I would like to lead him around somewhere. Right. I'm not sure where.
We got to go to break.
Okay. We'll be back. Yo-ho-ho-ho! Woo! Love line! Yeah!
Now you're pushing.
All right.
You're sober.
That's
now.
Drew.
It's
Yeah, that's good. I'm good. That's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Love Line. Drew?
This is my bourbon.
Yep.
You got, what do we got coming up this week? Anybody good?
We have NoFX, Cake, Andrew WK.
Cake?
Yeah.
I miss those Cakesters.
I haven't seen them in a long time.
That's a good band, that Cake.
Oh, Ann wants to chime in about some other stuff. What, Ann?
They're playing Coachella this weekend.
Okay.
The Cake is?
What's Coachella? Oh, Ann can't hear me.
Okay.
All right, good. What's Coachella?
What's Coachella, really?
Yeah.
It's like a modern-day Lollapalooza.
Okay, all right. There you
Come on, Drew.
I'm not hip,
Hip it up.
God, I got to get with it, man. All right, here we go. Yeah, pretend it didn't happen.
It's down in beautiful India.
All right, got it. This is Anna, who's 18. Anna?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Good.
I was just wondering, I've never really had a relationship. I'm not really interested in dating and stuff, and I'm out here. I'm an aspiring actress. I've done some modeling and stuff, and my father and my mother split up when I was one. My stepfather committed suicide when I was nine. My mom and my father have both had lots of relationships, always had a different boyfriend or girlfriend. And I was just wondering, like, what kind of an effect, could that be a factor in why I'm not really interested in dating or that sort of thing?
Let's think for a second.
What do you think?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. Wait a minute, Drew.
I don't know.
Maybe time for Drew's fantasy answer.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Let's hear it.
No, Anna.
Fantasy answer.
Okay. No, Anna, how dare you? What makes you think that your early experiences impact in any way upon your adult life? I mean, there's absolutely no evidence that...
I have everything together.
All right. Drew, now you know what it feels like, don't you?
Yes.
When you're right in the middle of one of your bits, and some a-hole chimes in.
Hey, what's scary that she was about to engage me in an argument. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I totally will. I'll fight with you. Watch out.
Hey, but I was giving you, Anna, a fantasy answer. You understand?
Fantasy answer.
Fantasy answer. Okay. Well, the fact is, yes.
You're having way too much fun.
Of course, unstable relationships can affect your ability to carry on in your adult life.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean you're sentenced to a life of solitude, but
yeah.
But it's going to be difficult for you. It's going to be...
Actually, it's mostly something that I'm worried about because lately it's been getting in the way of my acting just because it's almost like I've been getting input that I seem kind of like shut down or cold, and that's something that I want to work on because I don't want that to affect me professionally.
Mm. Well, how's that? Where are you? Out in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. Yeah, I've been here for like 3 months. I'm from Aspen, Colorado.
And now, do you not have sexual desires?
Oh, I do. I mean, I've had most of my earlier experiences, like, just kind of one-night stand, fling-type things. And I just, it's like once I get close to someone, like, I'll make friends with someone. It's like after that, I don't have any attraction. It's mostly I'm attracted to... destructive type relationship.
Right. You understand that the highly arousing, helpless experiences in childhood of people constantly abandoning you are things that you now form as attractions. Those things wire into your brain as something that after puberty becomes an attraction. People really don't know why this happens. They theorize that it's you trying to solve the experiences of your past. I'm not sure that it's even that teleologic. It's just you get wired by these traumas and you compulsively, that's who you are. You are that physiologic imprint is left and you look for somebody that fits with that imprint, and that's somebody who is abandoning.
So is there any way of reversing that or at least working on that?
Because yeah, that's what therapy is. That's what it is.
So
yeah, and you know, your impulse to just not be in any relationship at all is probably a pretty good one at this stage.
Probably true.
You could do worse. And quick question, Anna. The type of meat, veal and venison.
Oh, don't even. I was listening earlier. Oh, I think it's maybe a baby lamb. Is that it?
Fantasy answer.
I may be blonde, but I know that at least, yeah.
All right, baby. Good times.
Well, good talking to you guys.
All right, good luck.
Take care.
Fun. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is why you have to stay away from these actresses, Drew.
I see. Heather, 15.
Hi. I was thinking about getting my nipples pierced.
Yeah.
But I heard it was the most, like, painful part on your body to get pierced. Is that true?
Well, how much more painful does it have to be than what you might imagine it is? You know what I'm saying? The idea. How about somebody pinches your nipple? Does that feel good?
Not really.
Okay, somebody's gonna put a spear through it.
But it goes away. Like the pain goes away. Doesn't always.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get your arm amputated, it goes away too.
Right.
Fantasy answer.
There we go. I think there are more painful piercings, but none of them feel good.
That's not true.
Right, but I think Heather's.
Whoa. What's not
what?
True?
Well, like, if you get your cartilage pierced, you like pain, it feels good. Like, it doesn't hurt, but it...
Yeah. Right. I was about to say that. I think what? Doing your earlobes is not too bad.
Well, it doesn't feel good.
Well, your belly button doesn't hurt.
Do you like pain, Heather?
Not really, but...
What do you have pierced so far?
I can... my belly button and most of my ears.
Most of your ears. How many ears do you have?
Well, most of, like my cartilage and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Heather.
Hey, what?
Let me try to talk you out of this nipple piercing. As a sane heterosexual male, I don't enjoy it.
Which she may not be interested in that, though. Sane males.
Oh. Well, you don't know who's sane and who isn't sane, though, Heather, so you got to be careful. But like I said, representing male heterosexuality, I don't enjoy it, neither do any of my buddies. It freaks us out a little bit. It's not a deal breaker, but it certainly doesn't help.
Why does it freak you out?
It makes us think that there's something wrong with you emotionally. Do you know what I'm saying?
Kind
of. Yeah. I mean, people do that all the time. You see somebody. Now, in your case, if you saw some guy in like a members-only jacket with his trousers hiked up too high, you'd think there was something wrong with him, right?
Probably, but see, I like guys that have their nipple pierced.
Yeah, but you do. Listen carefully to what Adam's
saying. But you got something wrong with you. I mean, you're not right.
But you wouldn't like guys in a button-down and a blue blazer. You'd think there's something wrong with him.
Probably.
This is basically the equivalent to that, except for you're in the minority. Drew, I don't think we're going to explain
it. No.
Quick question. Veal. What kind of meat is that, Heather?
Isn't it like... I thought a lamb or like cat or something.
Huh? Cat. Very nice. Very nice.
Right.
Why don't you try venison?
And venison?
I have no idea.
Just a guess. Just a guess. Guess.
You want to give us a venison guess?
No, not really.
Okay.
You got to give us a guess. Go ahead.
Lamb.
Lamb. Okay.
All right. Not bad.
Veal is lamb.
So,
venison is lamb.
Heather, are you okay, baby? Life doesn't sound like it's going great for you.
But now when people see nipple piercings, they're going to think about Heather's answers to those questions. And you know what I'm saying?
All right. I would like to see Heather do a little better in school and stop poking holes in herself.
That's right. That's right. Jeff, 25.
That's serious. That's acting out. Listen, when your kid is on his 25th body hole.
Before it's legal, 15.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff.
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, well, I have a question. After doing severe cocaine abuse, you got the hole burned through your septum, the very cavernous nasal cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming I quit, how long does it take for that to heal up?
That is permanent.
Permanent.
Yep.
So I'll have like a constant runny nose for life.
Well, the chronic sinusitis will get better, but some of the inflammation and some of the dysfunction of having a perforated septum, that's permanent. That septum does not repair.
Okay.
All right.
How does that work, Drew? How does the coke do that?
Cocaine.
The acetone.
No. Cocaine was originally a vasoconstrictor. One of the reasons it was used as an anesthetic is it could be put up on the surface of the gum or the nose, and it would cause blood vessels to constrict to the point that it not only would it cause pain control, but it would also control bleeding. Now,
it just cuts it off and dies.
It
huh?
cuts it off and dies. And so after months and months or years and years of putting that stuff on this thin mucous membrane, it just dies off and dissolves. And that's the end of it.
And so what actually happens? I mean, what is going on inside your nose?
The septum, the part that separates the two nostrils,
right.
just slowly dissolves away.
And so, but you couldn't tell by looking at the person, could you?
No, if you looked up their nose, you would notice it. That's for sure.
And it just sounds more efficient to me.
Having one big cavity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel so hot though. It always seems kind of inflamed and
feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it just seems like, you put a scoop on the hood of your car and got a little more
I know,
positive airflow in there.
I know for you, Adam, whenever there's two and there's a potential of just one, it seems that much easier, so let's just go for one.
Right. Like, why pick both nostrils when I'm driving when I could just pick the one?
There you go.
And take care of the entire nose.
Here is Kristen, who's 19. Kristen?
Hello?
What can we do for
What's
you?
What's up?
I was wondering, how come sometimes, like, when you take a dump, like, some of it will sink and some of it will float?
It's interesting.
Yes.
The ones that sink are witches. No. The ones that float are witches, and the ones that sink are mortals. Right, Drew?
That's
Is that
right.
how it works?
That's right. And the ones that float, you must burn at the cross.
That's right.
That's right.
Drew,
the
why is
I just wanted to all do the same thing.
Well, it probably has something to do with the density and the fat content.
The fat? Mm-hmm.
Fat, yes. Fat, not all fat is absorbed. Some of it gets through. And
so
the fat
which
floats.
One's sink and which one's float?
The more dense, less fat sink. The less dense, more fat float.
So what happens if you have both in there?
In one sitting, so to speak?
Yeah.
Very
well, you got
talented.
A real dilemma. You got a serious dilemma. That
you've got to decide
because you can only save one, right, Drew?
That's right.
This is it's a dilemma. It's like if both your children fell in a lake and they were drowning, you could only save one. Because I look at my bowel movements as my children.
It's Sophie's choice. Kristen, why are you asking this?
Well, because
has her boyfriend told her to?
No.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, because I was just wondering, like, in my science class, my teacher actually was, like, making a joke, and he said that if it sinks, you have cancer, but I think he was making fun of me, so I was just wondering if it was true.
He's making fun of you.
No, he wasn't.
Hold on. Speaking of stink, I smell junior college here.
No.
Don't you have two questions for her?
Yeah. Veal and venison. What kind of meat is that?
Veal's baby cow.
Oh!
Right?
Venice, yes, and venison.
Venice is in Italy.
Write that down. Venice is in Italy. Thank you.
Okay.
Drew just spit coffee out of his nose all over the board, Adam.
Drew, did coffee come out of your nose?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It's all over his shirt.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was the best answer of the night.
Yeah.
I love that. Venice is in Italy.
I'll tell you, Drew. Let me tell you something from doing this show. It takes all kinds.
It does, sir. It does. Thank you for enlightening me as such.
Whew. Are you all right?
Huh? They're yelling at me. What?
Drew, did any get on your ascot or sport coat?
They're yelling at me to pick. I must be look like a total mess. They're yelling at me to get Kleenex and stuff. All right, let's move on. Here we go.
All right.
This is Jenna, who's 15.
Hello.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. I had a question.
That's good.
Hello.
What's going on in the background there?
It's my sister. Well, anyways, I had a question. I'm 15, and I still haven't had a period. Should I get worried? My mom tells me that it's like until 16, but
yeah, it's 16 is when you really.
But I'm almost going to be 16.
Well, why not look into it? It is a little late. It can be normal, but there are things that can either cause you not to initiate the cycling process or to delay it, or there could even be a more serious problem. But it's something worth looking into. It's probably nothing, but why not? I think you're right in being one to have it looked into.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good times, baby.
Good times. Venison is in Italy. Wow.
What the?
I can't get over it. What?
I was wondering what her little sister was doing
you
up
wanna
at
ask
this
her?
Hour.
Hold on. Jenna? Yeah, Jenna? Hey, Jenna?
She's gone.
All right. This is Cole, 18. Cole.
I can't hardly hear what you're saying.
Well, we're here. What's up?
Okay. How you doing? Is this
all right? Let's don't waste our time. What's your question?
Okay. I'm like, I got this problem. I had sex, well, not a whole lot of times, but a few times, and I can't get off ever.
During intercourse. Same woman? Same girl?
Well, two different girls.
Three different girls. And have these been comfortable relationships?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
How many times have you had sex with these two girls?
Well, with the first one, like seven times, but that was like all in one night.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. Sheesh. Remember those days, Drew?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, no.
Me neither. Yeah, and then what was the other one?
Oh, the other one, it's been for the past 3 or 4 months. She's my supervisor at work, and it's been for the past 3 months, pretty much like at least like 3 or 4 times a week.
And still not able to orgasm once.
No. I mean, she does all the time, but not me.
Are you on any medication?
No medication.
Huh. How about through oral sex?
No, oral sex doesn't work either.
Huh.
All right, let me ask you some questions, young Cole.
Okay.
You masturbate?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, that's probably the problem.
How often are you doing that?
I can get off with hand jobs. It's no problem.
How often
you can.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, they still have to go quite a while, but I can.
How often are you masturbating?
I don't know, like once or twice, like every, like once a day usually.
All right, why don't you hold off for a couple of days and see if maybe that helps you out a little bit.
Oh, I tried that.
How long
a little while back.
How long did you make it?
Like 3 days.
All right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run for 18. But here's my question. What position do you masturbate in?
Just laying down.
Laying on your back?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think your best shot at an orgasm is with her on top and you on your back.
Well, we've tried that before. I mean, I was there last night or this morning.
Right.
Trying that.
But, I mean, it's not happening.
Hmm.
Well, the hand will work. Her hand will work on you.
Yeah, yeah.
How about getting it to the point where you're just about there with the hand and then...
Oh, that works. That's all right. Good. I mean, but not, I'd never done that and then went inside her. It was all oral after that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's
my boy. Yeah, well, you're getting closer.
You're getting warmer.
Yeah, I would, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
When you masturbate, do you, lube man or dry man?
No, I'm dry man.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's part of interesting.
The
yeah. Yeah,
I've
you
only
see.
Lubed maybe once or twice in my life.
He has to sneak up on his penis.
here's the thing, Drew. Think about this. He has the orgasm with the dry hand. You circumcised or uncircumcised?
Uncircumcised.
Uncircumcised.
Do you own a ranch in Ohio?
Okay, yeah, why is that?
Veal or venison? What is your... No, you're uncircumcised, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. I think there's a factor too, Drew.
All right.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
You beat off on your back with the dry hand.
Uh-huh.
And then you enter the moist and inviting environment...
So what I need is lube.
...of a vagina. Now, just shut up. Listen to me. Listen to me. I would use copious amounts of lube when I beat off and get my penis used to the moist environment because the hand works.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not?
That's, yeah. I think
and her hand works.
Yeah.
So she's essentially, he can have an orgasm when she simulates him, but he's going for dry runs. Yeah. He needs to use lube.
As you've always said, it's good, but it's not the real thing.
Sex?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drew, I think this lube thing is going to work.
I think it's possible. I think that kind of chicanery for his penis is the way to go, Adam. I agree.
It's the way to go with anything. Lube. Venice. That's the answer to all life's riddles.
Venice is in Italy. Okay, we got to take a break.
All right.
When we come back, we're going to finally get back to poor old George, who you've kept in purgatory since about half an hour. Oh, 40 minutes, just like you promised.
All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I'm in Vegas tonight. I'm going to be back tomorrow night. And until then, we're going to speak to... who are we going to speak to?
And we'll have NoFX in here tomorrow night. We're talking to George again, 24.
Good times.
All right, how you guys doing?
Hey, George.
What's happening, George?
Nothing much. How are you doing, Adam?
Good.
You up any or are you down?
You know what? I've not gambled yet on this trip.
You are lying.
I have not.
Really?
I've gambled with my health.
Well, that's obvious. What casino are you staying at?
Hang on one second, George. You'll remember George is the guy that was on his speakerphone.
Okay. Okay.
And he wanted to engage you in discussions about that before.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he wants to know what casino I'm at.
Okay. Ready?
What does George say? What's the screen say his problem is?
It says, is in a rocky relationship, wants to end it, but not be a jerk.
All right. Well, he's got the being a jerk part down.
Mm-hmm.
You are an asshole.
All right, well, let's get back to George and address his problem.
Okay. And here we go. George.
George?
Yes.
All right.
We'd like to address your problem.
Okay.
All right, so state your problem, please.
Well, I have this girlfriend, and I like her. She's really nice, but she's kind of neurotic and kind of like, how can I say it in a nutshell, crazy. Like, we'll get in arguments, and she just assumes the worst, and we get into fights, and, like, I don't, you know, I was raised, you don't lay a hand on a girl, but let me tell you, this girl beats the crap out of me. And it takes everything I have not to, you know, touch her, push her to do anything. You know, I just kind of, you know, like, walk away, you know, but she just comes at me swinging, and I don't know really how to, like, get out of it without her beating the living crap out of me. And I figure, well, you know.
Do you live with her?
No.
So
we've just been dating for, like, a couple years. So it's like, you know, we kind of know about each other. You know, we kind of don't want to break up, you know, that whole scheme of stuff.
Okay. I got a plan. Drew?
I'm listening.
What do you think about this, Drew? We've never really talked about this, but when you're not living with someone and you're dating them, Drew, you've been dumped on many a time.
Of course.
As I have.
Of course.
As I have. And imagine that now. Somebody dumping us. Oh, man. Takes all kinds. Okay. What about this? Whenever I was getting dumped, here's how it would work. It was like I would say I'd give a call, and they wouldn't call back. And it'd take like 2 days, and then I'd call them again.
Right.
And I'd say like,
hey, what's
how about
that?
We get together Saturday? And they'd be like, call me Saturday afternoon because I just want to make sure. And then you'd call, and they wouldn't be home. And then, like, they'd call you Sunday and go, like, oh, yeah, sorry. The point is before the actual dumping went down for the 2 or 3 weeks leading into it, you had a pretty good idea what was going on.
Right.
Now, what about that? You know, what about that plan?
Hmm.
I mean, what about I mean, how many times a week do you guys see each other?
Probably about 4, maybe 5. I mean, we see each other pretty good amount. I mean, like, if we get in an argument, you know, and I don't want to see her, like, I'll leave. I'll go home, and I'll, you know, I'll be sitting there hanging out, and, like, I'll look out my window, and sure enough, she's, like, parked out in front of my house.
Well, this is a disturbed person you're dealing with.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So it's, like, it's kind of like, I mean, I don't want to be a jerk. I care for the girl a lot, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, end up finding, you know, that she ends up killing herself, you know, because something that, like, I did, or, you know, if she has problems, you know, she hasn't addressed them.
Well,
you know?
What are you going to do? Are you going to stay with her forever because of these fears?
No, I mean, I would, like, I'd actually, you know, like to find her a new boyfriend, so it kind of, you know, pushes the blame off me.
It doesn't work like that.
Oh, I know. I wish everything did, you know.
But this is, this could be like a bad Julia Roberts movie. The boyfriend should be gay.
Right.
But he's really good looking.
Oh, maybe
she doesn't find out he's gay, and then you fall in love with him.
Maybe that's his out.
Blowing a guy?
No. Well, look, George, I think Adam is right. Starting to avoid her, start to wind this thing down a little bit.
Oh, I've tried. She will hunt me down.
And if she gets violent, you report it. You've got to bring consequence to bear on people to do this.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, George. Let me give one of my famous car analogies.
Please give it to me. I need to hear it right now.
What you're going to be attempting to do is jump out of a moving vehicle after you've been carjacked.
Okay.
And you're going to get some bumps and bruises.
Okay.
But what you need to do in the next couple of weeks is see if you could slow the car down from 70 to about 20, 25.
Right.
So that you don't have any compound fractures. You just take a few rolls.
No head injuries.
We're moving at about 115 miles an hour as is right now. So, I mean, I'm lucky if I can just get out being paraplegic, you know?
Well, you need to work it. You need to start working the speed of the relationship down in the next couple of weeks to about 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's when you make your jump.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
That's about it. All right, get rid of George. I've heard enough of him.
Okay. This is Miriam, 20.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
It's Marianne.
Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason they couldn't hear your name is because the television is so loud in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was just watching Sunday Night Heat on, you know, another local television station.
Adam? No attempt to turn it down, though. No?
I did.
Okay.
How you doing?
Adam?
All right, you need to put Marianne on hold.
Yeah.
How long was she on hold for?
Just the 10 minutes, nothing.
Okay. She needs to be on hold for about 20 more minutes.
Yeah, easy.
All right. Now, she turns it down so that we can just kind of hear it in the background. I mean, listen, here's the deal. You're sitting in your living room, the TV is on, and you're on hold. And you don't want to just sit there, so you turn the TV up, and you want to sort of distract yourself while you're on hold. That I understand fully. Then you're on the air, so you would think, well, I no longer have any use for the sound part of the TV since I'm having a conversation on a national radio show, so I could just go ahead and turn it down. But you now turn it down to the point where I can still kind of pay attention to what's going on Sunday Night Nitro.
Right.
Which I think is like a wrestling program.
Right.
Which do you, if there's any, if ever a show where you didn't need sound, wouldn't that be it?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Here's Jeremy, who's 16.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend, my question is if I should stay with my girlfriend or not. Most of her friends are guys, and recently she's been giving me excuses why she doesn't want to hang out with me, and she's been hanging out with other guys.
All right, well, this is not about whether or not you should break up. She's breaking up with you. So don't put yourself through any more misery. Just get out of there.
All right,
Anna, do you agree?
Oh, yeah. I've done this one a couple of times, too, Drew. I bet you have. That one where you break up with somebody who's essentially breaking up with you.
Right.
Like, remember I just gave George that slow it down over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while someone does that to you, and so you say, well, I'm going to save some face. I'm going to break up with them.
Right.
Because basically I can see what's coming, but it's never very satisfying, is it?
You expect some satisfaction, like you're going to inflict something on them. No, they're relieved. They're grateful.
That's what they've been doing.
Right,
you just did the hard part. As a matter of fact, they don't have to play the heavy because you broke up with them.
And sometimes they make it even more ungratifying. Like, well, What do you think I'm up to?
But it's always funny. It always stings a little bit when they don't fight with you.
Right.
Where you go, listen, I've been doing some thinking. I'm not sure where this is going, but, you know, I'm just telling you, for me, I'm thinking. But you always leave it a little open. You go, I think we're going to have to break up, and unless you're willing to change. And they go, yeah, yeah, I think you're right. And you're like, well, don't you want to think about it a little bit? No. I think you got a point. I mean, if you want to break up, we need to break up. And you're like, well, I'm not saying we need to. I'm just saying I wanted to break up because, and then you end up backpedaling, making an ass of yourself.
You're missing a key ingredient, too. It's like, yeah, I think you're right. See ya. Off they go.
Yeah. I got another date in about 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. Here's Elizabeth, 17.
Hi, I kind of have a little problem.
All right.
Okay, I have two problems.
Two problems, okay.
Yeah. One is...
Veal or... Okay.
One is, it smells like, it doesn't smell too fresh down there.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do about it.
Are you sexually active?
Yeah.
All right, so that's an infection. And it's typically just a vaginal infection, but sometimes more serious kinds of STDs can create an odor, too.
I don't think it's an STD.
Why not?
Because I've only been sexually active with two guys.
Well,
the first one I know for a fact, he doesn't have anything. And the second one, I've been with him for some time, and it's been smelling kind of like that for a while now before I got with him.
Yeah, so it came from the first guy, probably.
No. I know for a fact he didn't have anything.
How could you know that?
Because he got out of prison.
Well, why would a guy in prison, a prisoner, why would he have an STD, for goodness sake?
You know, hold on, Drew, I'll tell you why. First off, it takes all kinds. But secondly, this is what I really love about this show, because how old, Elizabeth, what are you, 16?
17.
17 years old. I was completely prepared for, he was a virgin. He's a year younger than I am, and I've known his parents. They're, you know, he's Mormon.
Yeah.
He's Jehovah's Witness. And I was completely caught off guard with the prison line. And it's a much more entertaining answer than virgin would have been.
Get on your knees. Stop that.
He says, because he showed me this little thing, this card that he got out of prison that shows that he's, like, clean and everything.
Elizabeth, right. That is, please.
Buddy of his made it up at the print shop.
Yeah, please.
Well, I've been tested since then also, so...
How were you tested?
A doctor's office.
What did they do?
They stuck this stuff up me, this thing.
You got a speculum exam? You had a pelvic exam?
I don't know what exactly it was called, but my mom, she ordered it done, so...
All right, hold on. Put Elizabeth on hold for a second, Drew.
Hoo-wee. All right.
A little state-to-state gambling here since I am in Nevada.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the veal and venison question to Elizabeth.
0-2. Is that the bet?
0-2?
Is that what we're going to bet on, whether she can come up with this or not?
Well, what are the odds on... The odds on veal are about...
50-50.
About 50-50,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, venison...
Astronomical?
100-1, yeah.
100-1?
Yeah.
Okay, Drew.
Yeah.
I'll put $1 up against your 100 on the venison?
No, I don't think she's going to get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so...
I give you $1 if she gets venison, and you give me 100.
No. Wait a minute.
If she doesn't get venison...
Let's just find out if she gets it or not. Forget the bait.
Of course.
Elizabeth.
Yeah?
Go ahead, Adam.
Veal.
What do you mean?
What kind of animal is that?
Lamb.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Now...
Yeah.
Now, venison.
What?
Venison.
Fish?
Fish.
Fish.
Oh, I should have taken that bet. We were right on the 0-2, right? We
got it. All right. And quick question on the venison. Salt water or fresh water?
Salt water.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Well, okay.
All right, now listen, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I don't like you dating these inmates. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I worry about you a little bit, baby.
Another thing is, like, there were periods of time before I even got sexually active where I really smelled bad.
That's right. And some people, that is normal. For other people, it is an abnormal growth of bacteria or some protozoans. And it should be thought of as an infection, and it's something that is treatable. You should talk to a doctor about it. There's creams they can give you that you can insert in there that tends to take care of that. And okay, it also, these things can be sexually transmitted, for sure. So,
true.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What? More odds. What are the odds that someone who thinks veal is lamb is going to know what protozoans are? Do you think there's a human being that is currently on this planet that could explain what protozoa is, but it does not know the difference between lamb and veal?
Okay. Point taken.
Touché.
Yeah.
Thank
touché.
You. Okay, baby. Take care of yourself. And what should she do, Drew?
She should get back into the doctor. Down? It's good that her mom has appropriately taken her in to be checked out, especially since she's sexually active. And when there's a change like that, if you get abnormal discharge or smell, it's something to get checked out, because usually that is an infection. Even if it's just a vaginal infection, it's something that's worth getting treated.
Okay, but the guy had a card from the warden that said he was good to go.
That's right. Fresh as a daisy.
All right. Where are we going to now?
We're going to break.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night with NoFX. Yes. Kate coming in later this week, so all good. Hey, Drew?
Yep.
I had a little... had a little idea about toilet seats while I was in the bathroom.
another insightful genius?
Yes. That was smooth, Drew.
I know.
Yeah, I had a little breakthrough over there, which is, you know, when you come in and the toilet seat is down, first off, always spells trouble in the public restroom.
Yes.
When there's no urinal,
right,
that seat's down.
Yes.
I mean, someone was in there squatting.
Right.
Trying to float or sink one of those logs.
Well, you have two choices. Either they were sitting on it or peeing on it.
Right.
There's no in between.
So because I was brought up in a very, very evolved environment, I always lift the seat up before I take the leak.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me that why should I have to put my hands underneath the filthy toilet seat?
Way to pull
it. All they would need, what's that?
A pulley. Pulley system,
Drew.
Lift it up?
No.
No,
that's too crazy. All you would need on a public toilet seat is just a little ear, just a little tab toward the front of the seat, let's say on the left side.
Yeah.
Just a little tab, a little something you could grab, a little something to entice you to lift the seat up.
Or how about, you know, like they have those little foot things you can push on for trash lids?
Yeah.
A little foot pedal, just a pedal.
But Drew,
yeah.
What you're saying is right, except for we're talking about adding an extra 20% to the cost, or even more.
To $100 million.
And
one more
thing just to break and screw up.
You're right.
But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying, Drew. I know human beings, and I know that most guys, when they're at a club or they're at a movie theater or a concert or whatever, they'll whiz all over the toilet seat simply because they don't want to reach down and touch a soiled toilet seat and lift it up. And you have to put your fingers underneath the toilet seat and also risk making contact with the bowl.
And just think, if you have a little tab sticking out, you can kick it with your foot.
Here's all I'm saying. I'm talking about a tab the size of a guitar pick, basically, that's just molded into the toilet. I mean, how much extra would that cost in far as manufacturing goes?
Okay, good point.
A nickel, a quarter? Drew?
A quarter.
Is this genius? I bet people would lift the toilet seat 80% more of the time if that tab was there.
You're right.
Somebody would sit down on it and cut their leg and sue.
Oh, there you go.
No, they wouldn't sit down on it and cut their leg and sue, because it would be smooth, it would be rounded off, and it would be on the outside edge. It wouldn't be sticking up.
Right, right. Here we go. This is Chris.
All right, again,
genius.
The genius.
Genius.
Yeah. And, well, Anderson, what do you do? Go home at night and try to poke holes in my ideas?
Is that what you do? I'm just questioning.
Yeah. Well, question your questioning.
This is Chris of 19.
Hi. I had two quick questions.
Yeah.
One is, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering, whatever happened to Booby Land? Or Booby World?
Booville.
Listen,
it's the same thing that happens to every one of my ideas.
Whatever happened to the tab on the toilet seat?
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's genius, that tab on the toilet seat. Jesus, I got to get out of this business. I got to help the world.
All right, Chris, what else?
Okay, I was also wondering, I have a hard time that saying nice guys finish last. A lot of the girls I like and I end up flirting with end up wanting to be friends. And I was wondering how I could avoid that. Or
At 19, are all of these other 19-year-old women you're interested in?
Yeah. You know, maybe a year or two younger, a year or two older.
Yeah. At that age, wouldn't you say, Adam, they're interested in guys that are nice, but are also like Kurt Cobain? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That dead?
No, oh. I mean, like, also sort of, not antisocial, but independent and brooding and alpha male types. And they want to convert somebody from sort of a that type into the nice guy type, which is not two different guys.
Let me tell you something. As a male, and Drew, I think you would agree with this. If you're a male who's a nice guy and treats women right, who's 19 years old, unless you're exceptionally handsome, you're going to have a tough time getting laid.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while, one of those nice guys just happens to be strikingly handsome.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
But anything short of that, even just sort of nice looking, will not cut it.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Hypothetical. I think you know where I'm going. The tab on the toilet. No. 19.
Veal or venison,
At age 19, don't you agree that a guy who's much less attractive yet has a ton of bravado and attitude would get laid twice as much as a 19-year-old guy who would be considered an attractive guy, not hot, not supermodel good-looking, just sort of an attractive, nice-looking guy who was Mr. Nice Guy?
Yes, who was, yes. Now, he would be seen as sort of weak and too easy, too available. But right. Ultimately, women do want guys that are nice, ultimately.
Can I say one last thing?
And listen, yes. This, Chris, and what they really mean when they say nice guys finish last, they're not so much talking about nice guys. They're talking about guys who are sort of not really able to be present emotionally in a relationship. If you're taking someone out and your basic way of operating in the relationship is, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? If you're not really putting a piece of yourself into that relationship or that date, they're not going to be attracted to you. And so the guys that are sort of have more bravado or sort of at least perceived as being more themselves, being more available, and yet in reality they're unavailable. Chris, what's up?
Oh,
he didn't hear a word I said. That's great.
Yeah, I did, actually. I was breathing it all in.
All right.
Thanks. Veal is baby cow, venison's deer meat.
Hey,
and I know that
yeah.
Because Brad Pitt and Fight Club talked about it, and I looked it up.
Okay. All right there, buddy.
Have a great night, guys.
All right, Chris.
Good times, good times.
You'll have your day in about 10 years.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You know, this toilet tab wouldn't have to be much bigger than like half a silver dollar, just right on the side there. And I'd put lines in it so it was a no-slip grip sort of surface, and I'd make it at a little angle so that if some urine got on it, it didn't rest on it.
Nice.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yeah. Jason is 23.
Ouch!
Yeah. We had a couple strippers at my friend's bachelor party last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing different things to different guys, but what she did to me was she positioned her vagina over my mouth and poured beer over stomach, over vagina into my mouth. She called it a beer shot. I was wondering if any way to get STD that way.
Huh. You, by the way, Jason, this happened to a dear friend of mine. She started off with the beer shot and finished with something called the mudslide.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Just use your imagination.
No.
It was a disaster.
No.
A disaster.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It did not float. I'll tell you that right now, Drew.
Okay.
He's still in therapy.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Can you get things? Well, not any of the traditional STDs, I suppose.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Were both the strippers hot, or was one hot and one skanky?
They're a lot more impressive on the internet, but no, they were both pretty nasty.
Oh, really? You know what's funny? You go to those bachelor parties, And one of them will be hot, one will be skanky. You have your choice. One hot, one skanky, or both skanky.
They had a fatty gram, too.
That's really how it goes.
A what?
And
a fatty gram, a third stripper who was obese that came in first.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no, Drew, answer me this. Why is there so much novelty in the sexual world?
I don't know.
Do we really need it? Is there a place for it?
I don't know.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. The skanky one pulls you up in front of your 14 drunken friends and wants to do something with you, and you have to oblige, otherwise you'll be stoned to death by your 14 friends. You know what I mean? But it's like you just want to run out of the place screaming. Next thing you know, you're on your back and you're getting the golden drip, and it's just painful. Oh,
I suppose you get hepatitis B or A and things like that.
Nah,
really?
He's fine. He's fine.
Does there need to do any testing, or is it looking?
I think you're probably okay. Obviously, that's a pretty common procedure that she engaged in there, and we'd be seeing a lot more stuff spread that way. If that's.
I'll tell you what did happen to me one time personally, Jason.
Yeah.
I was getting that golden drip there, and I actually got a tampon lodged in my wind tunnel.
You inhaled as the beer came down and...
I started inhaling and a tampon became dislodged from her vagina. And as I was inhaling the beer, I got caught in my trachea and actually had to give me a Heimlich. And the tampon shot across the room and landed in a fish tank.
You didn't have to go to the emergency room? That would have been quite a story to tell the ER doc, huh?
No, I did not. Thank God. Thank God that Dr. Marcel was there.
God. All right, we got a break again.
All right, we'll be right back. Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, and I'll always remember this night fondly as the night in which I found out that veal is a sheep. And that venison is a city in Italy. It's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, or a fish. Or it has two meanings. Fish or a city in Italy.
Saltwater fish. Oh. Never too old to learn something, Drew. Always remember that.
What a night.
And, yeah, that's not printed in any of your precious textbooks. You know why? Because it's completely erroneous. All right. So, until next time. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.